All right, we're ready. We're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We've been going over some issues of communion. And for the last few weeks, we've basically been talking some of the problems that arise when you actually think that there is a physical communion, a physical bread and a physical cup. And that if you think that you have some difficulties when you get to the end of the chapter, basically starting in verse 26 and on down, or verse 27 and on down, how you can take this unworthily. And if you do, verse 30 becomes a real sticking point, because if the bread and cup are physical, then the weakness and the sickness and the death that God's instituting has to be physical. And that brings up a whole series of problems, and I've gone into that sort of probably at length with you guys, how you can rationalize that out. But I did think of another thing today, that if these Corinthian saints are dying and getting sick and being made weak by God, why does Paul say, and we read some of this last week, how they're glorying in who they are and they're puffed up? I mean, if your buddy's fallen dead and your wife's sick, and you wouldn't think you'd be glorying and puffed up and walking around by saying we're so great. The more you think about it and the more you study 1 Corinthians, the more contradictions you have with a physical, if God was physically chastising them, why would they be walking around with their chests puffed up and saying, look how great we are? I mean, you just wouldn't go together. But so we started to get into the actual verses of 1 Corinthians, and we started in verse 17 last week. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So Paul starts out by saying, hey, when you guys are coming together to do this service that I'm going to go into, it's actually hurting you. And it's not making you guys better, it's actually making you worse. And we went through some of this, and we got down to verse 20, where he says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. I mean, you can't get a more clear statement against physical communion than this. I don't know how else Paul could have written it more clearly. When you come together into one place, you're not to eat the Lord's Supper. And it's always amazed me when pastors and other churches want to do communion and do the Lord's Supper, they always start out in verse 23 and they skip the first section that we just read, where you're not to do this. But so we went through some of those issues last week, and we dropped down to verse 23. And this is where most people start, they think, hey, this is where we get the ordinance of communion from God, and Paul delivers it to us. We're in verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And people say, see, Paul's delivering us an ordinance here, and we went through some of the issues of this last week, how just because he receives something and he's delivering it to us does not mean he's delivering to us an ordinance or a sacrament or something that you have to physically do. He uses those words, received and delivered, multiple times in Scripture, to when he talks about doctrine and information and how that he receives doctrine from the Lord, and it was Paul's job to do what with it? To deliver it to us. And we went over some other verses where he uses those same words of received and delivered, and they all have to do with information, not with a physical ordinance that you have to do, not with something like a religious rite, but it always has to do with doctrine. So verse 23 cannot be taken to mean that this is a religious rite that you must do. It's just how Paul talks. I received the Lord something, here I'm going to give it to you. And then he goes into verse 24, and this is some information that he's passing along to the Corinthians. And we talked last week, why does Paul reiterate some of this stuff here in verse 24 down through 26? And somebody mentioned, maybe it was, you got to understand, put yourself in 1 Corinthians in a period of time. They might not have had the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet, okay? So what they're doing is, you're in Corinth, you have some Judaizers come into your assembly, and they're saying, hey guys, you guys are doing good, and this is what always happened to Paul. He'd go into a city, start an assembly, and then the Judaizers would follow, and they'd bring in Judaism. And so these Judaizers come into Corinth, and they say, you guys are good, but this is what we need to do now. Did you hear about the Lord's Supper? And you know what? I think, we should reenact that, because he told them to do it and we should be doing it. So the Corinthians think, wow, this is awesome. Yeah, we need to be doing this thing. So they sit down and they start having this Lord's Supper and they start doing it. And that's why Paul tells them, hey, you're not to do it. But then Paul's going to go into, he's going to reiterate, recount what happened back then. And that's why verses 24 through 26 are in here, because Paul is going to give the Corinthians, hey, this is what took place back there. And whatever you've been hearing, it may have been true, untrue or not, but I'm going to tell you what took place. So he tells them in verse 23 that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So Paul is bringing them back to the night where the Lord Jesus Christ sits down with his apostles. In verse 25, and after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And we talked last week, Paul is recounting, and who is Jesus Christ talking to here? He's talking to the apostles. And you got to put yourself, he's back in that room, and Jesus Christ is disseminating to his 12 apostles and around him, and he's saying, I'm taking this bread, and I'm drinking this cup, and I want you guys to do this in remembrance of me. And we talked last week how this bread and the cup, they weren't like, he did the bread, and then he did the cup. No, we saw how they were eating the Passover meal, and then during the meal, he paused and he did the bread, and then they ate the rest of the Passover meal, and then he did the cup. And that's pretty much how it went. So, you know, even churches today that are trying to do just the bread and just the cup, they're doing it incorrectly. Because if you go back, and the Corinthians at least did it right, because they were having the whole meal there. But Paul still tells them you're doing it wrong, and you shouldn't be doing it. But anyway, Paul recounts... I think last week I used the word recant. That was the wrong word. It's recount. He's relaying information that he had gotten, repeating some things. But in verse 25, it's really important that you see the ye there. This do ye as often as ye drink it. Verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Paul, that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. To his disciples back there, that ye is not us. Paul, Jesus Christ is not, you can't insert yourself into that ye. That's one of the wonderful things about the King James Bible, is that it has these terms that, you know, when we say you, you can mean a whole bunch of different things. You personally, you as a group, ye and thee, allow God to be more specific. And this ye here is Jesus Christ talking to the 12. He's talking to them alone. And so verse 26, and this is Christ continuing on, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. And then so that whole first part from 24, or half of 23 down through 26 is all Jewish. That's all relaying what Jesus Christ did in that upper room. It's not a sacrament or a rite being given to us, the church, the body of Christ. It's just Paul received this as the Lord, and he's giving it to the Corinthians and said, hey, whatever you've heard, this is what took place back there. And Christ was talking to his disciples. But then there's a big change in verse 27. There's no more ye. He goes, wherefore? Wherefore is a term that you use like, okay, now that you know that, now this is what's going to take place. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. There's a big change here. There's no more ye. It's now whosoever. And Paul has changed course now, and he's going to talk about whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup. And he's going to bring us back to what was the bread and what was the cup. And we already talked about how wonderful it is that the Lord's table has been opened up to the body of Christ now. How the Lord's table was once reserved for Israel and Israel alone, and that only the Jew had access to it. But now, we've seen, and Paul's already sort of relayed some of that back in, I think it was chapter 10, how the Lord's table is open for everybody. How we can eat there. And what do you do at the table? What was on the table? You had the bread. So Paul is now in verse 27, wherefore, whosoever, and what a wonderful word that is, whosoever, that whenever you see that word, whosoever, that means you, me, your neighbor, your sister, your brother, anybody. What a wonderful message of grace that we have. It's a whosoever gospel. And God, now God's bread and his blood is open for all man. Where once, when Jesus Christ came, he was dying for many. But now it's been revealed to Paul that many has now been turned into all. So in verse 20, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup. And then look down in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and of that cup. What Paul's going to start to talk about, he's going to say, look, we can eat the bread and we can drink the cup. What was Jesus Christ talking about there when he was talking about the bread and the cup? So what I want to do today is go back into that and look at what does the bread and what does the cup mean? And how does that relate to us? Because now we can eat this bread and we can drink this cup. And then once you understand what the bread and the cup are, then it'll make the rest of the passage start to become, you'll be able to start to understand how you can do this unworthily and how you can fall underneath some type of chastisement, which we'll get to a little bit later. So what I want to talk about today, what is the bread? And what is the cup? And you see how Paul says, whosoever eats this bread, he's pointing back. Paul's not holding a piece of bread in his hands when he's writing this and saying, whosoever eats this bread. No, Paul's relaying back to the bread that Jesus Christ break. He's relaying back to the imagery that Jesus Christ is making there. And we've discussed this at length, how 1 Corinthians uses more Old Testament imagery, I think, than any other book that Paul writes. And we're going to go through some of that again. We've already seen some of that. How he keeps going back to Israel and says, look at Israel, now here's the spiritual application of it. Well, now he's doing the same thing. He says, whosoever eats of this bread, the bread that Jesus Christ was talking about, and we can drink from that cup. So let's talk about what is the bread? What does it mean? Go back to Matthew. Hang on a second. Matthew 26. And as they were eating, 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so here you have the Lord's Supper, where Jesus Christ says, take this bread and eat it, for this is my body. Now, if you're a disciple and you're sitting there and you hear this, their mind should have gone back to something earlier in Christ's ministry where he talks about the bread and he talks about his flesh. And it takes it back to John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6. And there's a whole... Before we go to John chapter 6... Okay. John chapter 6 is where Christ is going to talk about how his flesh is bread and he's the bread of life. And that should have been the imagery that was awakened in the heart of Jesus' disciples as he breaks the bread for them. But the thing about the bread first, go to Deuteronomy 8:3. There should have been something just about this bread, the term bread, that should have caused his disciples to start to think. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And here you see something here. You see, God says man doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And to an unsaved person or someone, you know, who's just in the flesh, you say, how does this bread that I'm eating, this fills my stomach, this makes me live. What's this? And this gives me life, this physical life. But God says that there's something else, that there's the Word of God that brings life. Is there another life outside of my physical life that he's talking about here? You see the contrast he's trying to awaken in us? That man can sit down at the table at Sizzler or Red Lobster and you eat your bread and you eat your meal and you're eating this and you... I don't even think Sizzler's around anymore. They're closed. I remember going to Sizzler as a kid. But, all right. But I'd say, insert your Ponderosa. Ponderosa's not even around either. Insert your steakhouse, McDonald's, okay? And so men sit down and they're eating their food and they're eating their bread and they're saying, this bread gives me life. But God says that there's a word out there that does give life. What's this other life that it must be referring to? There must be a second life that this bread, this physical bread, cannot give me. You see, he starts to put these things in Scripture to cause his creation to start to think about life in a different term than in just a physical way. Go over to Amos chapter 8. Amos is after Daniel somewhere. Okay. You got Joel, Amos.
I have
for
Jonah, I think.
Oh, is it Jonah? Did I miss one? No, it's Joel, Amos. Joel, Amos. Amos 8, 11. And you see here in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good. Everybody likes to eat their food. But then he goes on, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And you see how there again, he relates how, yes, you're going to have physical bread. You can have water to drink. That can sustain your body. But there's a famine of a different source. There's a spiritual famine that's going to happen. One where you're not going to be able to have the word of the Lord to feed your soul, to feed your spiritual side, is what he's dealing with. And so the days will come that God is going to stop talking to Israel. But the point is that bread, the physical bread that they were eating, is being compared to the words of God. And how this feeds your physical. An unsaved man, they say, all I need is my bread to feed me physically. And God says, yes, but there is another bread out there. There is something else that gives life, and it's called the words of God. And they're related one to the other. Just as God gives you physical bread, and we can eat and see that and see what it does to our physical life, God says, now there's bread on the other side. There's the words of God that gives you spiritual life. So turn over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, and there is this famine in the land for some 400 years or so where God did not speak to Israel, there was no spiritual bread for them to get, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in verse 4 of Matthew 4 and he says, but he answered him and said, Is it written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Jesus Christ shows up and he's instructing them, hey, I'm God, I'm here, I'm giving you the words of God. And that he goes back to them and he says, your physical bread isn't good enough, but you need to live life by the words of God that proceed out of the mouth of God. And that's the purpose of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. He shows up, he's God in the flesh, and he's going to start to speak to them the spiritual bread that man needs. Because physical bread isn't good enough. So then we'll come on over to John chapter 6. So what does the actual bread mean? Well, we've already seen how you can link the bread, physical bread, with the words of God. In John chapter 6... we see, we'll start in verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The bread here is who? It's Jesus Christ. It's He who comes down from heaven. And it was His job to give life unto the world. So now Jesus Christ is going to start to compare. There's another bread out there. There's a bread that gives life. And that bread we shall see is going to be Jesus Christ. For this bread, verse 33, for this bread of God is he which cometh down and giveth life unto the world. Then verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. That's the first reaction of man. Give us this bread. We want, all man wants eternal life. You know, have you ever met somebody that doesn't want eternal life? I mean, when's the last person you heard, you know, somebody on TV saying, I can't wait for everything to just end and I'm just out of here and I don't even know who I am anymore? No. Most people, they want some sort of eternal life. Like they're going to go on forever. And this is what happens. Christ says, there's this bread coming down from God and it's going to give eternal life. And all the people around him start raising their hands and stammering and saying, give us this bread. Because we want to live forever. The problem is, once they learn what entails, then they turn away from it, as we'll see. But verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Who's the bread of life here? Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And you see how we have the bread is equal to eternal life, and you find that in Jesus Christ? And you see how he's now starting to build on, he started back in Deuteronomy saying, man shall not live by physical bread alone, but by the words of God. And he starts to draw that parallel that there's a spiritual life out there that man needs and that your physical life isn't all there is. And then Jesus Christ shows up and he says, I am that bread. And then he's going to talk about how you must eat of me. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I say unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that will cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so Jesus Christ is saying, the way you're going to get to me is in verse 35, but ye have seen me and what? Believe. Belief is going to have a big part in this. And we're going to see that as we keep going on. Let's drop down to verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Well, how do you get everlasting life from that verse? By believing. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. So how do you not die, according to verse 50? By eating this bread that came down from heaven. How do you not die, by according to verse 47? By believing on Jesus Christ. You have eating and believing being compared as being equal. Just as you eat your physical bread for life, God says you must eat this spiritual bread for physical life. And so he draws this parallel. He says you should be able to understand how in your physical life you eat and in your spiritual life you eat. He uses those terms to help us understand. But the way the spirit eats is by faith. Our spirit doesn't have a mouth with teeth and a literal stomach that it digests. But but he uses those terms to make us try and understand what the spirit life is and how it's very comparable to the physical. And the way you eat this bread is by believing. And when you believe, you can have eternal life. And when you eat this bread, you shall not die. Verse 50, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I give is what? My flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And this bread that comes down, Jesus Christ said, this bread is now in my flesh. And I'm going to give my flesh for the life of the world. And there's a reason he has to do all this, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But the point I'm trying to make is that this bread, the life that Jesus Christ is embodied in the flesh that Jesus Christ is standing there in front of them with. And that should have taken you back to John chapter 1. John 1, I jumped ahead a little bit, but this is all right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And you see how you have the Word was with God in the beginning? Verse 14, and the Word was made what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. John 1, 14. This word and flesh, the word of God, the word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh. John chapter 6, Verse 51. He is the bread which came down from heaven. That I will give it. The bread is enveloped in His flesh. All these terms are used for Jesus Christ. All these terms are used for your spiritual life. And you must eat of this bread. And this bread has been manifested in the flesh, and there was a reason for that. It was very specific, so that way He can die on the cross for your sins and shed His blood for you. But we'll get to that in a second. Verse 53. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They thought He was talking about physical things. See, man looks at the physical, the outward appearance of things. And they thought, the Jews stood there saying, "Are we supposed to literally eat you, Jesus Christ? Cut you up and be like cannibals?" That's how man thinks. Unregenerate, unsaved man thinks fleshly, thinks according to the physical. And they weren't hearing this spiritually. They weren't making the application. And there's reasons for that. It's because they've stopped their ears and they don't want to hear the spiritual. And we're going to see why in a couple minutes. But the point is that they look at Christ and say, "Are you talking physically? We're supposed to eat you?" Verse 53, "Then Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." And we've already seen what eating is believing. And what the flesh is the embodiment of the Word of God. Verse 51, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the fire, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Jesus Christ makes the great analogy between who He is and the spiritual life that He brings, and how He is from God, and that He is God, because only God can give eternal life. And when He says, "I am the living bread that has come down from heaven, and it is my flesh I'm going to give for you, and it is my blood I'm going to give from you, and you need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." And He says, and you learn from that that happens in the spiritual. You spiritually eat and drink Jesus Christ by believing the words of Christ. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And that Word was made flesh, and God comes down and He speaks to them, and He's talking to them, He's giving them words that they are to believe. And uses all this as an analogy to help us understand this. And the Jews there wanted nothing of it. They only looked at the physical. They were only interested in the physical. And you know, this passage comes right on the heels of Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000. And remember, if you go to the first part of John chapter 6, you had the 12, the 7, was it 7 loaves or 5 loaves and 3 fish? I can't really remember. 5 loaves of bread. And He takes the 5 loaves, and He's got these thousands of Jews around Him. And He sits down with the 5 loaves, and you know, think about it. He breaks the bread and they pass it out, and what was He able to do? He's able to physically feed them all with the 5 loaves of bread He had. And the Jews looked at that and they thought, "Man, this guy's great." But what Jesus Christ is trying to instruct them is that He is the bread of life. And just as He was able to feed them physically with just 5 small loaves of bread, He can feed them all spiritually with Himself. That's what they should have walked away from there with. But they didn't, because men only want to eat for the physical. You know how you make a church really big? You feed them physically. You give them a good show. You excite the physical senses. You got great music. And you don't give them the Word of God. Because we're going to see here, these Jews rejected the real bread. When Christ was feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves, He had thousands of people following Him. People will follow you if you feed them physically. People will be standing in line. Especially if you say, "This bread I'm giving you is going to give you eternal life." And they will line up. And there are churches today, somebody was just saying, they have 4 or 5 services on a Sunday. You know? They can't get them all in on one service. I got the same thing out by me. They can run services every 2 hours for all day Saturday and all day Sunday. People are lining up. Just as Jesus Christ had all the people He wanted to when He was giving them physical food. Isn't that how man is? Man wants to be fed. They want their bellies full. They want to be made to feel good. Oh, have you been in there? They got a great show. Yeah, but what Bible verses have they gone over? Well, you know, there's not a Bible verse anywhere in there. There's not even a cross to offend someone. And but they got a great show. You should hear that guy talk. He makes you feel great when you're done. And you'll get a lot of people. Feed them that type of bread. Feed them physically after their physical senses. But Jesus Christ says, just as I fed you physically, now I want to feed you spiritually. So He has this conversation with them right after He feeds the 5,000. And He's trying to instruct them, hey, just as I just fed you, and now I tell you, and I love how, you know, He tells them in verse 33, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven that giveth life. Just as I fed you with physical food, I want to tell you that there's spiritual life, spiritual food right here in front of you right now. And if you take it, you can have eternal life. So He gives them all these analogies, how He's the bread, He's the Word of God, and you need the Word of God for spiritual life. And this Word has been made into His flesh, and He's going to give His flesh for their benefit. And they're going to need to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood, but they do that by believing. And what's man's big problem? Believing. They don't want to believe God. They don't want to believe that Jesus Christ is the bread that comes down from heaven. Because you know what man likes to do? Man likes to be his own baker. Man likes to make his own bread. Man likes to put his ingredients and make his own bread that he eats of. I'm going to add a little bit of good works into my bowl of mixture. I'm going to add some alms. I'm going to add some donations that I've given the church. I'm going to add some confession. And I'm going to mix all that together and I'm going to make my own bread that I'm going to eat of. I don't want this bread that God says I must eat of. Man says, I want my own. I'm going to be my own baker. I'm going to put it in my own oven. I'm going to wait for it. And when it comes out, I'm going to smell it and hold it and say, oh, look how great this is. You ever been to Subway and you order and they got the, you know, they say they bake their own bread there. And, you know, you order your bread and they got the little oven back and they pull it out and sometimes it comes out hot. And like, yes, man. Man's like, I want to make my own. I don't want this bread of God. I don't want to eat of that, and we're going to see that they don't, because they're all going to leave them. They say, I want to be my own. I don't want to eat this bread of God. I want to work hard. I want to go live in a monastery. I want to become a big guy in the church. And that's going to make me myself to heaven. That's what they're trying to do. But Jesus Christ says, no, you must need to eat of my bread. There is no other bread out there. God, when God says, I am the bread of life, there is no other bread. You try and eat bread from any other God you want, even if it's your own God, who you are, I'll tell you what, you will not find eternal life. When Jesus Christ says, I am the bread, He is excluding all other breads. He's excluding all other words. And I don't care if you want to believe the word of Allah or Muhammad or Buddha or any other God that's out there. Their words are not the bread of life. Their words cannot give you eternal life. Only the bread of Jesus Christ can. So He's saying, I am this bread, and this bread is my word. Verse 60 of John chapter 6. Many therefore of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I don't understand this. Because I'm here only for the physical show. Can you imagine? You go into some of these big churches and you start teaching them about the bread of life and how they must believe on Jesus Christ. And they say, that's hard. I enjoy what I got. Look at all the people we have. I enjoy this. And Jesus' disciples said the same thing to Him. This is hard. His disciples were there while they were being fed. Oh, they thought it was wonderful that their bellies were full. But when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, did this offend you? Does what I say offend you? That I'm giving you eternal life? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. The bread of God is meant to give life through the Spirit, not physical life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The bread I just fed you with, even the manna that came down from heaven, you know what Jesus Christ told him earlier? Your father still died because that manna that came from wasn't even able to give them eternal life. And the bread I just fed you with the five loaves, you're still going to die because that bread doesn't give you eternal life. But it's my words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. So when you hear the term bread, the bread should cause you to realize you're talking about the words of God that bring life to the Spirit. Is what he's saying? I speak unto you, they are spirit. And you access them by what? Believing. Through faith. By believing. That's how you eat spiritually. That's why the natural man, remember in 1 Corinthians 1 there, it says the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they are spirit. The natural man sits there at the table, Red Lobster, and he's eating his food, and he looks and he sees that God's talking about the bread of life, and he says, I can't see that, I can't touch it, I can't taste that, I want nothing of it. That's ridiculous to me, that bread. That bread doesn't make my stomach full. If I ate that bread, I'd go to bed tonight hungry. And God's saying, no, what I'm talking about are words that bring spiritual life. Eat your full at the Red Lobster, but you're still going to die. You need spiritual food. And that spiritual food is my words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they bring life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When Christ started talking about spiritual things and spiritual food and spiritual bread, what happened to the masses that were following him? They left. They left. Oh, they were all there. They were all, remember, they were all raising their hands. I want this eternal life. I want this bread that you're talking about. But when Christ instructed them as to what it was, how it was Him, and He was the bread, what did men do? They left Him. They left Him. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want that in their ears. They don't want to listen. They don't want to believe. Because as we said, they're eating their own bread. They want to make their own bread. They don't want to have to put their bread aside and take the bread of God. They're too happy and content with their own. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Can you imagine that? Christ is sitting there. He's got thousands of people thronging him. He's fed them all. They're all happy. They're all raising their hands, running after him for eternal life. And then he tells them what it is. And now he's down to 12. He's down to 12. I mean, and he turns to them. And he says, are you also going to leave me? And what does Peter say in verse 68? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What a wonderful statement. He understood it exactly. Peter says, I don't want other men's bread. I want the bread that you're talking about. I understand that the bread that you give are your words, and I believe them. I eat of you, Lord, because I'm believing and have faith in what you're saying. To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. You got to imagine, Christ probably got a big smile on his face when he heard that. Because he turns and he's like, are you 12 going to go? And Peter says, Peter's a wonderful guy. Where are we going to go? Because it's you that have the words, the bread of life. You are the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and it's standing right here before me, Lord. Where else am I going to go? I don't want to go to the bakery down the street. I don't want to go eat someone else's bread. I want your bread because I know your bread is true. And Simon said, Thou hast the words of eternal life. What a wonderful thing that is. So when Jesus Christ is breaking bread in the Last Supper, that should have brought them back that He was fulfilling something, that this bread was going to be His body that was going to be broken for them, is what He was saying. And how when He died on the cross, there was something that was happening that was going to be to their benefit. So, this bread, though, is the words of God that bring life. They are the words. Let's look at some... let's go to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings 13. If you eat the wrong bread... it could kill you. And there's a picture here in 1 Kings chapter 13 of a man that was sent by God, a prophet. Verse 13, we'll just start in verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. And so this man of God comes to Jeroboam and he comes to this altar that Jeroboam had made and the man of God's going to cry against it. And he does exactly what he says. And the altar breaks, and we'll just read down through it. Behold, a child is born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign of the Lord that has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when the king of Jeroboam heard the saying of man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand on the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up so he could not pull it out again. So this man of God shows up and he cries against what Jeroboam's doing. And Jeroboam's saying, I'm not going to listen to you. And Jeroboam puts his hand out and he's going to say, grab that guy. And his hand gets all withered up. And Jeroboam doesn't like that. And the altar, and we're at the end of verse 4, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up so he could not pull it in again. Verse 5, And the altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God hath given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand restored him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And so Jeroboam, he puts his hand out, and it's withered up, and then he says, Oh! Man of God, pray to God, make my hand better. And the man of God does. He prays to God, and Jeroboam's hand is made whole again. And the king's really happy now. And the king's he wants to take this man of God home with him and give him a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee. Neither shall I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way which thou comest. So he went out another way and returned not to the way he came to Bethel. The man of God goes, and before he went, God told this man of God, you are not to eat of the king's bread. You are not to turn away from the path that you are to travel. You are not to go and eat their bread. You are not to drink their water. You're not to do that. Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So there's this old prophet in Bethel. And Bethel was a place of idolatry. And that's why this man of God went there to prophesy against it. So there's this old prophet in Bethel, in a place of idolatry. And he hears that there's a man of God there. And he's going to want to meet him. And their father said unto them, Which way he went? For his sons had seen that where the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him an ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting underneath an oak. Verse 14, I'm sorry, 1 Kings. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that comest from Judea? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. So he's trying to entice the man of God to come home with him. This false prophet's trying to get this man of God to come home and eat of his bread. And he said, and the man of God said, I may not return with thee, neither go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it is said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn away to go by the way with them that cometh. And the reason God had told him that was because this was an idolic city that he had gone to. And he said, you are not to drink their water or eat their bread. And then the old prophet tells him in verse 18, and he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he what? He lied unto him. There's another bread out there. There's another bread. That there are false prophets that they're trying to get you to eat of. There's another bread that people are going to come to you and they're going to say, God just spoke to me by an angel. And how prevalent is it today where you have people saying angels are speaking to them? Isn't that amazing? You know, there's nothing new that anything that happens today, you can find traces of it back to Scripture. That always fascinates me. I love looking for these things. Like even when I watch movies, I can always pick out, I like trying to pick out the references to Scripture and how they did that, not because they were, you know, maybe even meant to, but that has a basis in Scripture. And here you have a prophet saying, I'm a prophet. They try and imitate God's ministers as you are. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back that he may what? Eat bread and drink their water. Come on back to Bethel. Come on back to my idolic system. But he doesn't use the word idolatry. He says, this is God's system. Come on back with me. Eat of my bread. Verse 19. And what did the prophet of God do? You know what he should have done? He should have said, no, I'm not going to eat of your bread. Because the Lord instructed me. I'm not going to listen to you. But he does something else. Verse 9, so he went back with him and did what? Eat bread in his house and drank water. Did one thing God told him not to do. And some might say, well, so he had a little bread. What's the big deal? No, it was a big deal because it went against the Word of God. And there's a picture being drawn here between this bread of idolatry. And this man goes back and eats of it. Verse 20. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God from Judea, saying, for thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but comest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into thy sepulchre of thy fathers. Verse 23, and it came to pass that after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him an ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion stood also by the carcass. And this guy, this man of God, goes in, he's seduced by a prophet, a false prophet, he lied unto him. And the false prophet wanted this man to eat of his bread. And he does, and then he what happens to him? He dies. There's a false bread out there that we need to be wary of. A bread that men try and get you to eat, that God says will be to your doom. For if you don't eat of the bread of life, you're going to eat of the bread of devils. And that bread of devils will take your life. It doesn't bring eternal life. It doesn't bring you life. It brings death. Just as this man learned. And this story is here. And it's to draw us a picture of what happens when you eat the wrong bread from prophets that lie to you. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verse 14. I mean, let's start now. Verse 14. Proverbs 4, 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Isn't that sort of like what he just told the man of God? For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness. And drink the wine of what? Violence. There's a bread out there that's different than Jesus Christ. A bread of wickedness. A bread that, if you eat of, will kill you. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to read, we'll read this chapter. Wisdom. There's going to be a comparison of here between the bread of wisdom and another type of bread. Wisdom hath builded her house and hath hewn out seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. After him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine which I have mingled. There's wisdom out there that sets a table. And what does she put on the table? Bread and wine. And she says, and she puts out the sign saying, if you're simple and if you want understanding, come on in and eat of my bread and drink of my wine. That's wisdom. And that's fine. And that's what we're supposed to do. And wisdom is something that we're supposed to have. So wisdom is, and we don't have time to go into here. The wisdom here is being used as Jesus Christ. And it can be related to Him. And there's a table out there. And she sets up bread and wine and says, come on in and drink. Verse 6, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Verse 10. We'll drop down to verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For now, there's a foolish woman out there now, wisdom is saying. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high place of the city, to call passengers who go on their ways. So wisdom, you have wisdom out there who has a bread and a cup, and you have a foolish woman who also sets a table. And she calls passengers who go right on their ways too. Just as wisdom calling for people, you have this foolish woman who's calling for people. And she says in verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. She has waters and bread. There's another bread and cup, waters, out there. That the foolish woman is enticing people to come and eat. And she says in verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not, the simple guy knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. You see this other bread that's calling for you? Just as that old lion prophet called, come, eat of my bread. Drink of my water. Drink of my cup. Come on over here. And wisdom on the other side of the street is saying, no, you should be over here. And you see how this bread is being used and people eat of it? You can either eat of the true bread or you can eat of the false bread. And this false bread, this foolish woman, is an analogy, symbolism of idolatry. And there's an idolatric system out there that's calling people to come eat of their bread. They have words. They're just not the words of God. They're the words of angels. They're the words of those that pretend to be God. They're the words of Satan. But those words bring you where? Verse 18. You eat that bread and drink that water, you're dying. But he knoweth not that the dead are there. There's no life. Oh, we pass in churches. There's some beautiful churches ordained, all decked out with windows and tapestries and gold inlays and pictures and gold-covered and silver-colored idols and vestiges and altars and everything. And they seem like they got it all. But you know what God says? The dead are in there. They're guests. And that her guests are in the depths of hell. That's what you need to see. This spiritual bread is real. Just as the bread you eat at home when you make your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you ingest that bread, you need to be aware that there's spiritual bread out there. And that spiritual bread can either be wrong or it can be true. And if you're eating of the wrong bread, you're on your way to hell. Going down to the depths of that. You have to be careful. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 6. Verse 5. Well, we'll start in verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? See, here's another. Jesus is talking about bread, spiritual bread. But his disciples are thinking he's talking about physical bread. But Christ says, take heed. Beware of the leaven of Pharisees and the Sadducees. And leaven is bad. And we'll get into this maybe next week. But they didn't want no leaven in your bread. You know why? Because leaven destroys the bread. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets it took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, physical bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, Jesus Christ makes the connection. He uses the physical to teach you a spiritual lesson. He uses physical bread and physical leaven to teach you that there's spiritual bread and there's spiritual wickedness that could be mingled in. And that wickedness is the doctrine of Pharisees and Sadducees. The doctrine of legalism. The doctrine of works. Leavens the bread. And if you try, and as we said, be your own baker, and you're going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you're going to add some of this, and you're going to sprinkle in some of that, and you're going to make your own, and you're going to say, okay, I got to be at church every Sunday if I'm there. That's one ingredient. Next, I got to get 10% of my income. That's another ingredient. Next, I got to wear really good clothes. Next, I gotta, you know, I gotta clean myself up. Oh, I gotta stop drinking. Well, I'll stop drinking 6 days a week. You know, they make their own concoction, their own bread. They take communion. Yes, they take. I'll mix in some physical bread and some physical water. I'll let the priest. I'll go to the priest. I mean, they do all these things to bake to meet their own bakers. And God says, beware of their leaven because their leaven will destroy you, will kill you. And he does the same thing in Mark chapter 8. He reiterates it. Mark 8, verse 15. Now, we don't need it. It's the same story. But the point is, if you want, you can put in your notes, it's 15 again. And he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And he uses Herod there because that's the world system. And the world will sprinkle things in too. Got to be a good steward of the earth. Take care of Mother Earth. And if you do, Mother Earth will be happy with you and give you eternal life. And they sprinkle in all these things. But they're wrong. There's only one bread out there. And that's Jesus Christ. And we'll wrap it up here, but we're going to talk next week about the cup and the blood that was shed for you. But the point I'm trying to make is when Paul, in 1 Corinthians there, is talking about the bread that we can now partake of, we're going to see that that bread is the Word of God. That bread is Jesus Christ Himself. Because they are so commingled, they are one. The Word was made flesh. When you read the Scriptures, you are holding Jesus Christ in your hands. You are holding the Word that was made flesh right here. And the way you eat of it and the way you partake of it is to read it and believe it. It's a spiritual picture that's being drawn for you. And just as you hold physical food and eat and that gives you physical life, you need to hold the Scriptures in your hands and read them, for they are the words of life. They are Jesus Christ. And they give life. And that's how you eat of it. And so when Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians eating the bread, and when Jesus Christ even break the bread, that was the imagery, that was the symbolism that should have arose in the disciples' heads. And so, the physical bread had no importance. The Jews always had rites, though. They always had ceremonies. But those ceremonies were not saving. Those ceremonies were to point to a spiritual application for them. And as the Jews were to eat their Passover and eat their bread, that would remind them of the spiritualness of what that was meaning. But in the age of grace, we have been given all understanding towards those things, and we don't have to have the physical spiritual rites anymore. We have this true spiritual application of them. So what I'm trying to say, yes, we have communion. We just don't have the physical rite of a bread. We have it every time you come and read the Word of God. You're having communion. Because you're eating Him. And we're going to see now next week how this bread is more than this. This bread is now, when you get saved, you become part of that bread. We'll end here. 1 Corinthians. Was it 10? Yes. 1 Corinthians 10. 16. We'll get into this more next week. We'll end here. But the cup of blessing, 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of what? That one bread. When you get saved, we'll go into this next week, you are going to be so identified with Christ that you become part of Him. And in becoming part of Him, you become part of His bread. That's what he's talking about. Paul's not talking about a physical piece of bread that he's pointing to. You can't become physically part of a loaf of Wonder Bread. You can't. He's talking spiritually. But then verse 18, behold, behold Israel after the flesh. Paul says, look at Israel after the flesh. Look how they do, and what you see them do, their spiritual application for us. Are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altars? You see, there's pictures back there that Paul points to. And he says, you look at those pictures, now I'm giving you the spiritual reality of what's taking place. And just as the priests ate of those altars, you eat of Jesus Christ. And we'll go into that next week, because we're out of time. But we'll get into this next week. But the bread is so important. It is so important. Don't be hoodwinked into thinking that a guy who's giving you a cracker has anything to do with God. Nothing. It's the words of God that you eat and that sustain your life. And we're going to see as we go on how, as Paul goes on to the end of the chapter and he talks about people being weak, sick, and death, what do you think happens if you stop eating? You get weak. What do you think happens to a saved person if they put their Bible on the shelf and they won't read it? They get weak. You try this at home this week. Put your food in the refrigerator and lock it up and don't eat from it for 2 or 3 days. What do you think is going to happen to you? You're going to get weak. Cranky, upset, mean. What do you think happens to Christians when they put their Bibles on the shelves and they don't eat of it? Same thing. And we're going to see how all that works. And it's going to make the whole chapter become real. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank You for coming down from heaven as the bread of life. You could have stayed in glory and let us be committed to hell and the lake of fire for our sins. But You loved us so much that You descended out of heaven for mankind, and the Word became flesh. And that flesh eventually was broken and died on the cross, and the blood was spilt there. And that blood paid for our sins. And what a terrible thing You went through, but You did it so that way we can have eternal life. And now You offer eternal life to whosoever will eat Your bread. Whosoever. Rich, poor, famous, unfamous, weak or strong, Jew or Gentile, all men are capable of eating this bread by faith, by believing what You say, and believing the words of God. And may we be like Peter, when asked, where shall we go? And he says, who else are we going to go to? For You have the words of eternal life, Lord. There is no one else for us to turn to. May we appreciate this. May we commune with You on a daily basis by intaking Your bread. And as we eat lunch this afternoon and dinner tonight, may we be reminded that we also need to eat spiritual food to sustain our spiritual lives. In Your name, amen. Oh, look at that.